You're listening to Bounce Back Behavior, the show with Nakisha Michelle and Robin Denise, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, divine beings. It is Bounce Back Behavior today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And you know that this is more than just a show. It is a wake-up call. We are here to support you as you live boldly, heal deeply, and we gather weekly in this sacred space for truth, tools, and transformation. I am your girl, the spiritual Betty, your favorite guru, Robin Denise. Here with Izzy Key. Izzy, you on the line?
I'm always here. Hi, hi. I like that you said we gather weekly. I like that whole little intro right there. That was nice.
Thank you.
Yes, real tea.
And we cannot forget our favorite host with the most, Nakisha Michelle. She is here. She's going to be joining us in a little bit. We got a little, sometimes you hit a little bit of snag as you coming up in the world. You'll be trying to throw shit at you and evil eye and things. So sometimes the internet want to play games, and that's okay.
It's okay. We going to bounce
Nakisha
back.
Nakisha going to be here and join us with her beautiful essence. But we always give a shout out to the hostess with the mostest.
She's going to bounce back sooner than later.
Yes, you go bounce back. That's right, Izzy. So, Izzy, how you doing? I didn't talk to you last week. I missed you. How you doing, my friend?
You too, Miss Robin Denise. I've been doing good, living the iconic LA life right now. Going from Irvine to Laguna Beach to LA. It's been really nice just traveling up and down the coast. I've been to the beach like maybe 4 or 5 times now in 1 week, but it's all fun. I'm going to the beach right after this too. So I'm having a lot of fun here. Sun is shining. I'm happy getting work done. Can't ask for anything else.
Yes, I love that. The sun is shining. I'm all about it. The beach baddie. Okay, let's go.
Yes.
This is the time. I hope those folks, people out there, are enjoying your life as much as possible and finding places that bring you bliss and joy, because it's all about following your bliss. What's new with me? What is new with me? This is new, but it's also kind of like, wow, Robin Denise, you just about to put this out here right now? Yes, I'm about to put this out here right now. Let's hear it, right? So I am a grief and pleasure coach. That's one of my specialties, is working with those who are grieving, and not just grieving like the loss of someone, but also grieving changes in their jobs, in their environment, changes within themselves, et cetera. Anyway, so speaking of grief, today marks the anniversary of my mother's, Dorothy, her transition into the ancestor realm. And that's what's been going on with me lately, is just like processing that, taking time to remember her, doing things that make me smile, that keeps her memory going, you know? So that's what's been happening with me over here in Thailand, is hanging out with my grief friend and reminding myself of my mother and spending time and talking with her and the other ancestors. So I know that's kind of like heavy, but hopefully still a little light. I don't know, Izzy, what you think?
I think that's beautiful and very, very, I feel like, soothing within yourself, especially with such a hard situation as well. But I think that's beautiful, and especially grieving it all and just coming to terms with it all, especially in Thailand, in a beautiful country like that. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Any
thanks.
Any moments you're comfortable with sharing?
Last night, actually. So in Thailand, I'm like 14, 15 hours ahead of those in the U.S. And I like to say I'm living in the future. So technically yesterday was her anniversary of passing. And I went to this park that I'd never been to called Chatuka Park in Bangkok. Beautiful park. I walked there. When I got there, it reminded me of a park that me and my mom used to walk to all the time growing up in Compton. And I was just like, what? I did not expect this aesthetic to remind me of home, you know, being in a whole different part of the world, having things that remind you of home, connecting you to home, especially in a place or in a time when I was feeling vulnerable and a little disconnected from my roots and home. And so that was a really beautiful, I like to say, forehead kiss from the universe, saying that, like, I got you, you're good, you know, and universe for me is also God and source. So it just, it was really nice. It was a really nice moment.
I love that. You're never alone, ever. Someone's always with you.
Yeah.
Walking the path.
Yes, never alone. Right. Isn't it? You get it. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Let's do this inappropriate question. We ready?
Now I'm in the spotlight. I'm really scared.
Yes, you cannot hide.
I hide under Nakisha today. I can't.
And the thing about these inappropriate questions are supposed to illuminate, right? So this is our chance to illuminate more, Izzy.
I'm here and I'm ready today.
Okay. Inappropriate question of the day. I'm asking the questions that makes us think, the things that we are thinking, but we don't ever, that we don't always say. And also to really illuminate what might be some of the biases that we're carrying within us that could be hindering us from pulling in newness and connecting with others in this world. So the inappropriate question of the day is, would you date a porn star or sex worker? Would you date a porn star or sex worker? And this is the opportunity for those listening to call in, listeners. Call in to LA Talk Radio and talk with us, because you know we are live, baby. Every week we live. The number to call is 1-323-203-0815. Once again, that is 1-323-203-0815. And you would be answering the question, the inappropriate ask question for the day. Would you date a porn star or sex worker? Is it key? You ready?
Oh my God. Oh my goodness. Let's see. Okay, can I have a, I need a follow-up question. Is it, are they actively in the industry?
Okay, so
that's, and it's a determining factor as well.
Okay. Well, what if, okay, so two things come to mind. First of all, my follow-up question to you is, what if they are not actively in whatever industry you're having in your mind, but maybe they get back to it later in the course of y'all being together? That's an option, right? So that's my first kind of follow-up question to you, and I'll let you answer that, and then I'll say my second one.
Okay. Well, I guess I think that would be a question for me to ask them, like, what is drawing you back to it? And is it aligning with our goals aligning together that keeps us within this relationship? Because I feel like if my goals were to align with you, it wouldn't be taking you back to that industry. You know what I mean? I'm sure it's a thriving industry. I'm sure you can thrive in the industry, but is that necessarily a place that you feel so attached to that you have to go back to? I think that would be my question for them. And I guess in the sense of, would I be okay with it? No. I don't think I personally would be okay if my partner in the relationship was like, yeah, I'm going to go back to that industry because I don't know if they need money or something. I'm like, there's other paths and other ways that we can navigate together because I don't see my partner in that field.
Okay. Thank you, Izzy. So the point of this question is to really dig deep into what do we consider sex work or sex workers? You know, like in society, a lot of times when we hear that word or that phrase really, there's a certain picture that comes up. And what would be that picture for you, Izzy?
I would say in my head, it's just not to offend anyone, but personally what I see is like it's dirty. Like it's just, it's like unclean. It's like, because in that industry, you're with so many people. And personally, I'm just a clean freak in myself. So even shaking so many people's hands, I'm like, okay, where are my hand sanitizer? So I think just going around being intimate with so many people, that's not something I would want. That's not energy I would want brought back into my house at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I'm hearing is a connection to sex work being the thought of this is the person who is having sex with others for money. And sex work is actually much broader than that. So let me give you the definition of a sex worker. A sex worker is anyone who works in the field of sex. Just like an engineer is anyone who works in the field of engineering. Engineering is vast. Sex is vast. So a sex worker could be a sex educator, a porn star, a sex coach, a sex counselor, a sex doula. Sex worker is not just a streetwalker that is included, but that's not the only thing. So now thinking of that definition differently, does that change or adjust your answer?
I think it definitely does then, since it is such a broad lane and category. If it was a different lane, like educator or doula, like helping others, I think that definitely would change my perspective on it, because sex at the end of the day is a natural human like kind of concept. And so it doesn't have to be shied away. So I think if it was like an educator or a doula or like, I guess not, being, I think still not being the person that is initiating it or like actually doing the activity on a daily basis for money. I think if it was anything other than that, I would be okay with it. And I would think I would just need to educate myself more on it.
Okay. Yeah. And that's part of the question, right? That's the opportunity of the question, is to educate ourselves more. So let me answer it. I've been putting you on the hot seat real good, Izzy. Thank you. Shout out to you for holding it down.
Is this and remember, calling great question I answered? Loki, I think.
No, it's your second. It's your second.
Second, okay.
Mm-hmm. Again, callers, if you want to call in and discuss this with us, the number is 323-203-0815. We would love to hear from you and get some of your thoughts on this inappropriate question. And so my answer is I am a sex worker. I am a dame. I am a sex doula. I am a sex coach. So I am a sex worker. And I embrace that. It took me a minute to embrace that. I had to deal with my own prescribed thoughts about it and how society had ingrained within me the demonization of sex workers. I have friends who are porn stars. And I have dated sex workers. I've dated telephone sex workers. I've dated doms and dames. I have dated sex educators. I've dated sex workers. I've dated porn stars. I've dated them. And I know that might be shocking to many people out there, you know, but this is my life. It's one facet of my life as a sex coach and a sex doula and sensuality person. I've done it. And a lot of times we talk so boldly about sex sells in media, right? And we glorify sex out in that way. But when we talk about it being used in another way as actually selling sex or selling the idea of sex, then it gets ostracized and demonized. And I remember when I was prepping for this segment and I was voice noting to my phone and I said the word porn, I looked back at my voice note that, you know, translated to text, and they put P asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. And I said, well, how dare you censor my words on my cellular device?
That is,
you have a preconceived notion about what sex work and pornography is. Like, hello. It's just another way that we can see society prescribing certain things upon us on how we conceptualize a topic all the way down to our devices. So let me get off my little high horse. Any additional thoughts, Izzy, before we move on to the plus side of love, honey? Izzy, you there? Did I lose you?
Yes, 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 I'm here. I think the connection went out for a minute, but I am here. Going back to the phone center, that was crazy.
Yeah. I was just like, you know, I know our phones are always listening to us. The AI in them is always like changing and adjusting to us. And I just thought that was funny that word porn would be censored on my phone. And my phone is supposed to know me. You know that I'm a sex worker. You know that I do this. That's one of my many jobs. So anyways, it was interesting. And food for thought, audiences, just take a moment to allow yourself to think through how you are perceiving sex in this world, sex workers, even having the bigger, broader understanding and definition of how I have defined sex worker. It's anyone who works within the field of sex. And there might be sex coaches, sex doulas, others who don't consider themselves to be a sex worker. However, if we think about what it really means when we talk about different fields of work, it means that you work in this field. And if you are doing work around sex, you work in the field of sex, therefore you are a sex worker. Bam. Moving on. Let's get into the plus side of love.
Okay, segment switch. What does the plus side of love have to say?
Child, what if there was a plus side sex worker? How do you think those are sexualized? Oh my gosh. So let me just say, first of all, you know, bounce back behavior is about the bounce back. And we do preparation for this show, right? I prepare for my segments. Nakisha prepares for her segments. Plus Side of Love is not my segment. So this is Robin Denise bouncing back in real time with with a Plus Side of Love topic. So
period.
Bear with me.
Period.
Huh?
I said improv. We love it.
Yes, period. So thinking about the question, the inappropriate question, and sex work, and also thinking about plus size bodies, I kind of want to take a moment to merge the two because, you know, when we're thinking about pornography and what is pushed out there, the plus size body is really kind of utilized a lot and glorified in pornography from like, or for the Black woman, I'll say, like, you know, BBLs, thick things. There's all this like salaciousness and love, and I don't want to say, it's like they love you in the sheets, but not in the streets. That's what it is. That's what I'm coming to, is that the plus side body sometimes of pornography is like really, ooh, let me go get that. Let me go get that. People are watching it. People are watching it in the sheets. But then when we get to the streets, people are not as welcoming. They're like, ooh, cover that up and all these other things. And it's just like, what is that disconnection? What is that? Why is it that we can want and seek the big, juicy, fat butts and thick thighs, but out on the streets, it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's not to say that there aren't people out there who do go looking for that and pull in the beautiful plus size people and have wonderful relationships with them. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the other side of it, where we glorify it in one way and then ostracize or stay away from it in another way.
Yeah, I think that it's about fetishization. You know, I think a lot of people fetishize a lot of different categories, and it could be like a guilty pleasure in a sense. It's just sad to say. But I think, yeah, just a lot of just like fetishizing and curious, but not actually like appreciating what the beauty is beyond it. Exactly. Yeah.
Appreciation. Oh my gosh. That is the word. There's a lack of appreciation for the beauty of the body, and not just the beauty of the body, but the beauty of the being beholding within the body. As we behold the person, right? Like, we should be appreciating the body, the person, the entire essence and being of a being. And I feel like at times that gets lost in the fetishization of it. And it's different if you fetishize it in one spot and then you transfer it over into your everyday life, whereas like you are actively seeking out the thing that you fetishize and you want to be with it and you're desiring. But if it's like a fetishization in the dark and you don't want nobody to know, and you don't ever date plus size people, but that's the porn that you go to, that's that's the thing that really turns you on, but you're not accepting it in your actual walk of life, what's happening there? What's happening there? So what's the bounce back there? Because I think what's coming up for me is this feeling of how can we work to embrace the fullness of all bodies, whether it is fetishized or demonized or just not looked at. What's the path to embracing humans and how they show up in their essence, in their humanness?
I think one thing that comes to my mind is not holding other people accountable. If they are not appreciate, if you see someone not appreciate something, or just, you know, or like we're talking about bodies, if we see someone not doing that and maybe making nasty remarks and basically just call them out, hold them accountable. Because sometimes people do it on purpose, but sometimes people also are not aware of their actions and only doing things that have been taught to them, but have never been questioned. So maybe I think holding people accountable is one for sure.
Yeah, I like that. Holding people accountable. What came to mind for me was love, like a deeper self-love. Because I feel like when we really actually love ourselves fully, then we're able to start loving others more. A lot of times when like self-love, in my opinion, is not really grounded in loving every piece of ourselves from head to toe, inside out, then we start to project those inner self-hatred outward. Like, if I don't fully love every piece of me, that means there's a part of me that I don't like. And if I'm not liking it, that's a form of self-hatred. And so a lot of times we reflect out the self-hatred to others by having biases, by being harsh on people, by judging people, like we reflect that out. And so I really feel like, and this may sound mad cliche, but I feel like it's love. Love is what we need. The world needs love. That's
okay, karaoke. America's Next Top, America's Next Top Model, American Idol. That's what I want to say. The Voice. I'm going to press the buzzer and turn around.
Do you know, Izzy, and when I graduated from high school, American Idol was in LA, and I went and I stood in line, and I was at the very end of the line. But I wanted to try out because I'm a singer. I grew up in the church singing. I directed the church, the youth church choir. I am a trained singer and I performed. I've performed in college singing, et cetera, et cetera. So after high school, I was like, I'm about to try out for American Idol. And if I get picked, I'm going that route. If not, I'm going to go to college. I just mentioned I went to college, so I didn't get picked. But let me tell you what happened.
Let's hear. You know what? Who cares about the route? We hear about the story.
Right. It's about the story. It's about the journey to where you end up at. Exactly. So, hey, Nakisha. Let me finish telling this story. But Nakisha came here. Thank you, Michelle.
Hey, I've been listening to the show. You guys are amazing.
He's returned.
Y'all are amazing.
Thank you, bro. Oh, hi. It's so good to see you. I miss you.
Mwah. Hey, Izzy.
Let me finish the story. Here we go. We're going to really introduce you back into the show, honey. So I'm at the end of this line, this long ass line in LA with everybody and their mama out there trying to get into the show. And I'm one of the really like the last handful of people that they see. And I'm performing in front of the producers and I sing, I'm going down. That's what I sang. Woo! They said that was amazing. And unfortunately, we've accepted everyone from LA that we can. And I was like, well, what you have me perform for if you were just going to tell me no?
They could have accepted you, though, because that was a good note right there.
Thank you. And I killed it. I mean, I did the runs. I showed them all of my range. I went from soprano to tenor, honey, because I got that range. And but anyways, it led me to where I am now. One of the many stories in the Robin Denise trilogy. Nakisha Michelle, what's up, boo? How you feeling? Talk to us. Let the people hear your voice.
Hello, Bounce Back Behavior listeners. Hello to the esteemed hottest guru, Miss Baddie, Miss Spiritual Guru, the baddie. Hello, Miss Izzy Key.
Hello.
I miss y'all. I'm so sorry. I'm out here just living my best life in the Gambia, but the Wi-Fi is not as strong as it needs to be, so I'm just happy to be able to get on, and I got so much to talk about, but I'm hoping the Wi-Fi lasts.
It will. You good now?
I'm good now.
Talk about it. You good now? Talk about it. What you got to talk about? We want to hear.
Okay, so check this out. I was watching an interview with Cam Newton and Kay Michelle. Two things. One of the things, he was like kind of trying to push her to exercise, to get in the gym. Whatever happened to the joy of being in the gym? And she's like, I didn't enjoy being in the gym. I was in the gym 2 months. I didn't enjoy that. It was hard. And he looking at her like she just said, I ate a frog. He was like, it's supposed to be hard. She said, well, life is hard. I don't need to just sign up for hard.
That's a point. That's a real good point, though. That's a good point.
And going back to like the plus side of love, it's like, okay, going to the gym, that's all good. Some people are like psychologically like connected to it, but that ain't something I'm connected to. But he was looking at her like she was strange because she wasn't connected to that. But there's other forms of exercise that you can be connected to. But because you ain't going to the gym, like, is that the only way to do the journey?
Nah, it's not. There's so many forms of movement and shifting energy from your body. And as a past personal trainer, I will say this, that I wasn't always like desiring to go to the gym. But what happened was it built up. Like my desire didn't immediately start with, ooh, I want to be at the gym and ooh, I want to be a personal trainer. That built up as I continued to go. And as I thought about, I had to shift my mindset into enjoying it. I had to say stuff, affirmations like, I like how I feel when I leave the gym. It feels good to be able to lift heavy things and have like other people look at me and be like, oh, Robin Denise is lifting that much? Dang, I didn't know she was that strong. Like, I like that kind of shit. So that helped me kind of enjoy going to the gym. I had to do that like training. And sometimes that's what we need. Sometimes it just don't work, right? Sometimes it's just not your thing, and that's fine.
My thing was, I enjoy jogging. I really enjoy it. And I love jogging on the beach where it's a little hard because of the sand. And I see quick results doing that. And I've been preparing for a 5K for like 20 years. So eventually I would get to
you should have been here. We were talking about the triathlon last week.
I've been preparing for 20 years. I remember when Izzy was about 2 years old, we had a, in front of our townhome, we had a beautiful duck lake or pond or something, but it was like a track around it. And I was taking her, acting like I was preparing for the 5K. I have been preparing for a 5K. And at some point, I'm going to really get in condition, stay connected long enough to do the 5K. I believe in myself. I'm going to do it. But the gym is not my thing. And I like to dance. I do like to dance. But the gym, it ain't cute. I don't care how many affirmations I tell myself. That is not my deal.
That's fine.
I'm going to the gym to get in the sauna and to get in the whirlpool. That's what I'm going to the gym for. But I just thought, you know, because sometimes as a plus size woman, you think all your stigma is about you being a plus size woman. But to see little K Michelle, like, I didn't like that stuff. But to still see him give her the stank face, that was that was a little encouraging for me. I felt a little confident builder there. It was a self-esteem boost. I was like, K Michelle don't like it either. If K Michelle don't like it, I don't gotta like it. Praise the Lord.
If the and let me tell you, I like it too.
Right. Okay. And I used to watch Izzy. Izzy be, she get in her spurts. Well, she be doing her mad gym act. I mean, she be going strong 10 days in a row, sweating, videotaping herself. And then about that 11th day, I'm like, Izzy, you going to your gym? You ain't doing your little 21-day routine or whatever? She was like, no, I'm gonna hit it tonight. Tonight come. Izzy, did you hit it? No, I had this and that to do. After that, Izzy done. So, Izzy, do you like going to the gym?
Hell no. I do not. That's cool. But it's calling my name because these jeans are getting tighter by the day.
You know what? You know what? What helps me? I'm gonna share this, and I've shared this with past personal training clients too. Is it is about the when we go into the gym? What's the goal? The goal besides like losing weight or getting in shape? The deeper goal of it, in my opinion, is movement. Moving your body. And so, like you said, you like to dance, right? For me, it's like, how am I moving my body daily? Whether it's a walk, whether it's I'm putting on 15 minutes of dancing and I'm shaking my booty to some soca, whether it is doing some light stretches before I go to bed, that's movement. So for me, that's where I am now, especially in travel where I don't always have access to a gym. You know, sometimes I just got access to the street to walk on. So it's like, how am I moving daily? And I have my mat with me so that I can do my best to move daily. But it's like, that's what it is. It's what is the movement?
Let me ask you a question, because I heard earlier on the show we were talking about sex workers. So my movement is sex. Does that count?
Yes, that is a physical activity. Your heart rate goes up for real.
That's about as moving as we're going to get right now.
Yes, and play with the positions, right? Like if you're moving in positions, you're also increasing your heart rate. So play with the positions. Tap into your breath to make sure you get enough breath to your body to keep it lasting, right? Just like an exercise, breath is important. It's important in sex to breathe so you could have longevity in that thing, okay? I like this.
Girl, we can tell this joke game because you get real passionate and into it.
I love bliss and sensuality and sex and finding places that bring you bliss and joy. That is my thing, and I want people to fall into that more. So
well, here yes. we are. That's
Lakeisha right? Key. All I hear is your smacking.
I know. That's what
you eating on.
I was eating my ice cream.
What you eating on?
I'm so unprofessional.
I'm saying, like, not right now, boo. Not right now. Put that ice cream cone in the freezer. It'd be all right.
I'm so unprofessional.
Did she disappear?
She did. She said, "Hey, Izzy." She was like, "Well, shoot, if I can't eat my ice cream cone on the show, I ain't gonna be on it." Bye.
I here and drop and dip. She's like, "I'm so under." Clap.
I'm so unprofessional, and I was accidentally clicked off. Listen, it's midnight here. It's midnight.
That's what I said. I said, Izzy, she clicked off and she was like, "Fuck you, Robin Denise. I want to eat my ice cream." The inside of you was like, "Bye.
Bye. This is my movement. I'm smacking my jaws together. I am in full rebellion." Okay. While you over there getting all technical and all excited about the gym and all the positions, I am smacking my mouth. My jaws was working out. Sorry. Izzy was like, "You are really, all we hear is smacking. I'm so unprofessional."
Okay. Woo. As we digress. Come on, what are we moving into? Where are we going, love?
So real quick, the other part that Cam Newton and Kay Michelle was talking about, and she was in tears, and that really touched me. And being here in the Gambia, I got another perspective of what's expected for the men here. And so one of the issues, if we talk about bounce back behavior, a lot of times as women, we beat ourselves up. And I'm talking about diaspora women or women, you know, in the Americas. We beat ourselves up because sometimes we don't feel like we're good enough for our relationships, or the men make us feel like we're not good enough. And we have to work so hard to maintain them or work hard to get them. And there's a lot of controversy going around about how we should and should not be dressing and how difficult we are or how much we talk and just all this stuff, right? But what Kay Michelle brought home was like, listen, if you are a man, you know how to deal with all these things. You know how to make the woman soft or make her so that she's not in defense mode or she's speaking out of disappointment and rage and all of that. When are you guys as men going to take leadership and put the family back together? We know the roots in history. We know what we've all been through. She said working in the country music, she said the work ethic is so different. Those men, they come, they go to work, and they gone at 5 o'clock to go home to their wife. They not working in the studios all night. They not sleeping with a bunch of different women here and there and then go home to their wife. Their family, they put the family first. And she said no other culture except for our culture that the men don't put us first. They, we are just like an accessory or something like that. But being here, it's, I feel like it's a mindset thing. Everything goes back to the mind and social conditioning, how you're conditioned. And here it's like you go through college or you go through school, you go through college and you expected to have a wife. You ain't expected to have a girlfriend. You're supposed to be looking for a wife. And I think a lot of times the men in America are not conditioned to family is important. Family is first. And I should be looking for a wife. No, I'm about to see who I like. I'm going to date them for a long time. And if I don't like her, I dispose of her. Now she in pain and got to go to therapy. Now I'm going to go to the next one. Now I'm on to the next one. And then there's so much variety that them themselves don't even know what they want. So that is my thing. And I was just like, that to me, it's an issue. It's a struggle. And he would never admit and be like, yeah, it's, we need to do better. He wanted to turn it back on K. Michelle and be like, but y'all gotta do this and y'all gotta do that. It was just like, it's exhausting. I don't know. You look real deep, Robin.
Absolutely true. I don't know. Have you guys seen Love Island? Heard of it?
Yeah. I've heard of it. I've watched a couple of seasons. I think I watched at least one season before.
One season, okay, season 7 is happening right now, and it's absolutely, basically the premise of this show is every, all, like, young, hot singles on an island, and they could just kiss around and choose who they want to be with, so I think that's absolutely true. It's just, like, a broad selection, like, they're at a market, and then dispose of, and choose and dispose of.
Mm. That's a lot, and it's real superficial. It's about the looks. And how quickly I can have sex, and if the sex is good, and if I can, like, dominate you in some type of way. And if I can't, you're getting disposed of.
Okay. So I'm gonna take this a slightly different lens, as I do with most of things. That's just my MO. But thinking about history, you know, you're talking about the country music sector and how at 5 o'clock they go home to they loving kids and wife and da, da da da. And we think about the demographics of country music artists. Most of them are Caucasian. Mm-hmm. And most of them, I won't say most of them, but the Caucasian trajectory of history in the US have had access to creating those type of work-life balance. Mm-hmm. Boundaries. They have had access to get it, having a job, having enough money, getting enough money from that position to where they can go home and take care of their family and do those things. They've had access to that. Blacks weren't given access to that. Historically, Blacks were given access to you work all day and night.
Mm-hmm.
There is no break for you. So when you talk, when you mention that conditioning, we've been conditioned to have a scarcity mindset of I have to keep working to make something of myself. I have to be in the phone, not the phone booth, the music booth. I got to be in the studio all night pushing my creativity. Those boundaries were not accessible to us historically. So ancestry is still coming through the lineage of how we're showing up as humans today. We don't have to do that, but we have been because DNA and what we've been taught and how we haven't had access to that. And then that same conditioning around marriage, slaves, most slaves weren't even allowed to get married. Mm-hmm. And then even if they were allowed to get married, their spouses were still taken to be raped and pillaged.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like there's this mindset too that comes with that of, well, why am I going to get married when this person might just get taken away? Or, you know what I mean? But I feel as though in other cultures, as you've mentioned, they didn't have that type of, not all of them had that type of historical upcoming. And so I think instead of saying, well, what you need to be doing and da-da-da-da-da and trying to put it on one another, I feel as though we need to come to a place of saying, that doesn't have to be our story anymore. Like recognizing it, the Sankofa idea of looking back and seeing where we've come so that we can make changes and move forward in a real way. I feel like doing more of that and saying, I don't have to repeat that I work my ass to the bone. I can pull in ease. I am worthy of ease. And I am worthy of having one partner that loves me. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I think there needs to be, it's layered.
But I hear you. I hear you, Robin Denise, but they have, we got Russell Wilson like that. We got Russell Wilson and Ciara. We got them. And they're going around saying that he's weak. He's weak. Because he has that mentality. Instead of saying, oh, this is a brother we need to look up to, they all on social media talking about he weak.
I feel like we're saying the same thing here. You're saying that people are saying he's weak. And I'm saying yes, because of all this shit that's happened and shifting away from that to say, yo, that's how this person wants to live their life. How do I want to live my life? What's actually the things that are making me live this way? Is my desire really to have all these people?
They're not conscious. They're not conscious and they're not choosing to be conscious. I think it's my disdain. They rather stay in the toxicity and the dysfunction of blaming each other, like you said. And I get that. The whole epigenetics, I get it. But at some point, like on school days, I think, was that before your time, Robert Denise? School days?
Nah, I love school days.
When he was like, Larry Fishburne, I forgot what his name was in the movie, he was like, wake up. How long? We have too many. I feel like we have too many examples and too many leaders and too many people to keep using that to me as a crutch. I think that's a crutch at this point.
I don't think it's a crutch at all, because a crutch is something you've acknowledged and you're still using it as a way to placate what you're doing in life. This is not a crutch. This is an actual, like, this shit changes. Black Americans have PTSD, historical epigenetic PTSD. But if we don't talk about that and shift and move the energy from it and do ancestral clearing work, how are we supposed to move forward from a place of healed, hold, and bounce back behavior? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's a crutch, and I understand why you would say that, but I disagree.
Okay, so look, we got to pick this back up, because look, I do still think it's a crutch. Because a crutch to me is you do know, you do see, but you still choose to lean on something instead of, you know, doing the physical therapy, doing what you need to do to get stronger and be the leader. Be the leader that she's saying. The whole thing is, you know right from wrong. Don't nobody need to teach you right from wrong, whether your daddy was in slavery or not. Don't nobody need to teach you that. You know the way you're treating these women, and you know the way you're referring to these women and your rap music and all of that stuff is wrong.
But so now you're going into a different topic. Now you've gone into a different topic, and I do think we're going to have to close it out.
Because it's still destroying us. It's destroying us. Let's go ahead and end it. Let's go ahead and end
it. Yes, I'm just saying that is a slightly different topic than what you started on. And so that is definitely going to be something that we can pick back up next week, which I would love to. And I'm going to give it to you to take away, love.
All right. As always, we try to bring it. This was really new and interesting. Thank you for bearing with us as we are on our travel journeys. You know, Wi-Fi is different everywhere, but we're doing our best. We love you guys. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for showing up. And we are Bounce Back Behavior. See you same time next week. Let's keep the conversation going until we meet or speak. Hug yourself for me. I'm your host, Nikisha Michelle, Robin Denise, and Izzy Key. We out.
You're listening to Bounce Back Behavior, the show with Nikisha Michelle and Robin Denise, only on LA Talk Radio.